Texas District Court has issued a preliminary injunction against Connecticut's governor, public safety commissioner, after it found a violation against the Second Amendment. Federal court judge Jeffrey Mayer issued the order Monday that within 1 week, Governor Ned Lamont must modify the portions of his March 17th executive order that suspended the law requiring state and local law enforcement to accept applications, including taking the requisite fingerprints from Connecticut residents who seek new firearm permits. The Connecticut Citizens Defense League, or CCDL, announced the injunction yesterday morning against Lamont and the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection Commissioner James Rovella. As a result of the executive order, the CCDL said law enforcement throughout the state refused to accept new firearm permit applications, thereby unconstitutionally suspending the process to obtain a permit to purchase and possess firearms for self-defense. It said Governor Lamont ignored a letter from April 7, 2020, that sought the reinstatement of the application process. The CCDL said it had no choice but to file May 9, 2020 action to obtain relief for its members from federal court. I believe they were represented by two former colleagues of mine in the State House of Representatives, both attorneys, State Representative Doug Dubitsky, and our next guest who is joining us, who is State Representative Craig Fischbein. Representative, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad this morning. How about yourself? You must be jubilant.
I'm very happy with the process and the results.
So take me, if you can, through this process. I mean, we know... And as I did a little lead up into bringing you on, and I kind of gave a general synopsis, but I think you can add more color to this. Let's go back to the first, the executive order that Governor Lamont issued back a few months ago.
Yeah, so just to back it up a little bit further and to, you know, educate your listeners a bit as to the process, there's four different state permits for firearms, and those are ammunition certificates, handgun eligibility certificates, long gun eligibility certificates, and pistol permits. The first three, if one wanted to get one of those, they would go directly to the state police, who would take their fingerprints, their application, and it would be solely within their purview whether or not to issue those three permits.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth, the pistol permit, one would go to their municipality, who would take their fingerprints
Okay. And
take their application. Connecticut General Statute 29-17C says that no municipality nor the state shall refuse to take your fingerprints for that application process. So on March 17, the governor said to the towns and to the state police, You now have the ability, because I'm suspending the statute, to either terminate that process or to suspend that process. On that same day, State Police Commissioner Rovella issued a memorandum saying, we're terminating. And to our knowledge, every town in the state followed suit. So stop the process. Not to necessarily get a permit, but to even apply for it, which is a significant concern. In addition to that, individuals who had already been issued their local permit, seeking to get their state permit, their regular pistol permit, the state had stopped that system also, which that system does not require a fingerprint at that stage, because the fingerprint is done by the locals. So that was part of the lawsuit also.
All right, what I'm confused about is that there's a big difference in my vocabulary and to my understanding between termination and suspension. when something is suspended, it means it's temporarily suspended, usually due to some unforeseen circumstance, and it will resume once whatever the dispute or whatever the extenuating circumstance gets resolved. In other words, it's temporary. When something is terminated, it means, in my opinion, it's halted. It's stopped completely, and it will remain stopped indefinitely. Yes. So there's a very distinct difference by definition between both of those words. I can't imagine that Rovella would go along with terminating. If I understood you correctly, you said terminating, not suspending, but termination, well, complete termination.
He did utilize the word suspend in his memorandum, but in effect. I mean, a suspension with no end date is, in effect, a termination. They are interchangeable. And a concern by the court was, you know, you can turn on, turn off a suspension also.
Right.
So,
a suspension,
you know,
yes.
You could say, okay, you're suspended for one day, we're back another day, and then we're going to suspend again. I mean, that just doesn't make sense.
What if you were already in the process prior to the executive order? What would have happened to those individuals?
Well, one of our clients, because we sued on behalf of the CCDL as well as six individuals, one of those individuals was already in the process. They had been issued their local permit, and they wanted to go to the state to get their regular permit, which is just appearing. You know, yes, this is me. Here's my driver's license. They issue a regular permit. That process also stopped. And we put that in evidence. We had affidavits and declarations from various individuals that confirmed that they stopped that process as well.
Oh, my goodness. We're speaking with State Representative Craig Fischbein. You worked with Representative Doug Dubitsky, right, in working on behalf of the CCDL. There was a letter, from what I understand, that was submitted to Governor Ned Lamont, dated April 7th of 2020. It sounds like it was just completely outright ignored. What was contained in that letter?
Well, basically, showing our client's concern for them stopping the process. And, you know, yes, it was ignored. In fact, when we filed the suit, we were contacted by representatives of the governor's office who indicated, well, there was no record of them getting the letter. But then we turned around and we showed, wait a second, we sent it by priority mail. Here's the receipt. And we never heard that argument again.
Well, you know as well as I do, the governor's not going to sign for certified mail to his office. It was a representative from the governor's office that signed for that.
I would believe that to be so.
Yeah. All right. So it sounds like it was ignored. That was over two months ago. Did they think this was just going to go away, or did they they must have known that you were suing them, suing the governor's office, suing the governor himself.
Certainly, in the letter, we did indicate that. You know, you got to do something, otherwise they're going to be forced to bring suit. And, you know, the letter was received by the governor's office on April 13th, and we waited almost an entire month. We filed the lawsuit on May 9th because there was absolutely no response. We had people from all over the state contact us about problems that we were having. In fact, we put into evidence the fact, I think it was 17 additional towns over and above those that we sued in the lawsuit, evidence of individuals contacting us. And we got many verbal complaints also that, you know, we couldn't document, but, you know, those were emails that we put before the court. And the judge was very concerned about, you know, government creating a process to exercise a right. And then government halting that process is very chilling to the Constitution.
It is.
And your rights.
It is. Extremely scary. So we're at May 9th now, and you filed a suit. Do you file the suit against the state, against Governor Lamont. I want to emphasize Lamont as governor of the state of Connecticut, or Ned Lamont, the individual, the person.
So we sued Governor Lamont in his official capacity.
Okay.
Because he was acting in his official capacity, arguably under the powers that are given to him by the governor. When you sue the governor in his individual capacity, that's when you allege that the governor has gone outside of his authority. That legal concept is what is known as an ultra vires act. And there you would sue the governor individually. But similarly with Commissioner Rovella, he was sued in his official capacity. And we also sued four different municipal police chiefs also in their individual capacity. The municipalities restarted their process during the pending of our motion, and we found it unnecessary to get relief against them because they restarted. The governor and the state police were unwilling to do that, and we had to have the hearing.
You said police chiefs. Which towns?
Ansonia, Farmington, I can't remember the other two.
Okay.
Farmington. You know, you asked me a question.
That's okay. You didn't.
You're supposed to have all the answers.
You don't know I'm going to ask you. So, I mean, it's not like you could prepare for this. So, it's no big deal.
Yeah, no.
We
problem.
Can. You know, we can probably dig and find this as well. So,
yeah.
Where did you? So, you actually this didn't never went to trial, right? Or did it? Because amount of time between, you know, go ahead.
We did present evidence. We did it by Zoom.
Okay.
We stipulated to many exhibits and affidavits, and the judge was extremely prepared for the hearing. It was quite clear he had reviewed all of the documents. We briefed the issues. You know, I can't give enough credit to my co-counsel, Attorney Dubinsky.
Oh.
In that regard, we worked together very well.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. The briefing on the issues was approximately 100 pages, well over 100 pages with everybody. But our initial memorandum in support of our motion was, I believe, 51 pages.
Oh.
So the judge, it was quite clear, had reviewed all of that stuff. And we, as I said, had a hearing and actually, you know, got a 26-page decision. So it's a preliminary injunction. Preliminary prior to the actual full-blown trial, basically saying that while this case pends, these orders are in place.
Okay, so let me stop you right there. How long ago did you have this Zoom hearing?
Last week, the first.
Okay, so it took him approximately a week, the judge, to come up with this decision, right? That's not long at all.
It's not long, you know, to the judge's credit as well. You know, he
sure
did, you know, his job. 26 pages, and it's a well-reasoned opinion, has a lot of facts.
Yeah, but you and Doug deserve a lot of credit here because you made it. You were articulate enough to, if the judge made a decision in that, you know, short amount of time. I mean, hats off to you and Doug Dubinsky for articulating it so clearly for him.
Well, that's part of a lawyer's job. It's absolutely to put the law in front of the court, to present your evidence, to explain to the judge why you should get the relief that you're seeking,
right,
and wait for hopefully a favorable ruling.
Were you surprised that it came back the way it did, or did you know that it was so obvious that he would what's his name, Jeffrey Mayer, the judge, would rule the way he did?
It was quite obvious to me from the hearing, the discussion, the comments made by the judge that he was going to do something to get our clients relief. He expressed a lot of concerns, you know, comparing the Second Amendment to the First Amendment, you know, which, he asked the counsel for the governor, you know, if the governor decided that voting in general was not to happen because of COVID, could the governor just shut down the voting process? And it appeared that the governor's counsel was in favor of that power. And, you know, the judge was quite concerned about the overreach here.
So we all are concerned about government overreach. We only got about a minute and a half left. Take us up to date. This is only temporary, right? I mean, there's still going to be, what's the next step?
Well, the next step is to perhaps engage in discussions with the defendants as far as where we go from here. You know, clearly this order remains in place until modified by the court, if at all. The court could take it and make it a final judgment, because certainly a concern of our clients is that, you know, the government turns around and issues the same order again.
Yeah,
and then we
got
to sue again. Then we got to go through the whole
process. I thought of that, actually. That's what I was thinking of when I asked you. Did you hear from Governor Ned Lamont? He's not issued any statement, but I don't know if, was he surprised on how the judge ruled on this, or have you heard anything from their side?
Not directly. It was reported yesterday that the governor's response was something like, Well, we were going to reopen it on that date anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, we did put into evidence a video of the governor responding to when the initial lawsuit was.